non-open session. We're going to go to section 5, number 1A. Board will conduct interviews of candidates to serve on the investigative committee. The list includes candidates who were interviewed at the October board meeting and are noted accordingly. So we have Julianne Miller, DVM. You want to come forward? No.
All right,
Ms. Solomon, you are the lead for the investigative committee interviews.
I have some questions. I'll be asking the same questions of these candidates that I asked previously of the previous candidates. Dr. Miller?
Yes.
Thank you for being here today.
Yep.
For this item, I have about four questions that I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
The first is, how long have you been practicing in Arizona?
Since 2008.
Has it always been in the same general vicinity, or
you? Same practice the entire time.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Question number two. Why do you want to serve on the investigative committee?
That's a great question. I bought the practice in 2010, so been owning it for 14 years. Been through a lot of doctors, been through a lot of staff. Seen a lot of clients, probably seen just about everything you could possibly see. And through it, I have always tried to see both sides of the story. I feel that there is two sides to every story and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I feel very strongly about making people accountable for their bad behavior, whether that be a doctor or a staff member or even a client. And I feel very strongly about telling the truth and just really, if I advocate for the client, I know over the years, you know, we've done our very best to try to accommodate people, and I'm always the one advocating for the client. And I know that's what the board does, and I feel very strongly that I have a good idea of what's happening out there. I have a good sense of the pulse of what's happening in veterinary medicine. And I think I'd have a good voice because I, not only am I a doctor, so I can see the doctor side, I appreciate the doctors on the board who give that perspective. It's hard to be a veterinarian sometimes, but veterinarians act badly. And so I think that everybody should be held accountable. And so I'm interested in that. And as I've gotten older, I'm backing off the business a little bit, so I have more time, and it's something I'm interested in. So I have more time to dedicate to helping the community and the profession as a whole.
Thank you. Okay, question number three. What would you bring to the investigative committee if you were to be a new member?
I would bring my experience. Like I said, I've mentored many a new grad. I've dealt with many an old grad. I have dealt with thousands of staff members, thousands of clients, lots of complaints, lots of communication. I think my communication skills are, I can read people pretty quickly. I understand where they're coming from. So I think I bring a fresh perspective. I see all of you, and it's awesome to have this advocate for clients, but also have doctors on the board that can advocate for the veterinarians when that needs to happen. So I think it's just a different perspective from someone who's been in the business for a long time.
And final question. Meetings are generally all day on the first Tuesday, of the month. Can you make that commitment as well as pre-meeting prep, which can be time-consuming, travel time, etc.?
Yes.
Consistent attendance is important.
Yes, and I had thought about doing the board previously in previous years, and because of the practice and my involvement, I could not. But now that it's loosening up, I do have the time, and I can commit to that. Yes.
Okay. have no further questions of the applicant to any of the board members.
No, you actually answered one of my questions as I saw 2008, you graduated, and it says owner at Canyon Pet. I was like, yeah, but you started early as ownership. Glutton for punishment there.
Yeah, still being punished, right?
It makes it fun, though.
Yeah, right.
But cool.
All right, thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
All right, now we're going to go to section four, number one, case 19-71, Solicitor DVM quarterly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board review, discuss and take action on information presented. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is the knee giving you problems?
Yes.
It's getting cold.
I'm doing everything I can to, you know, to try to work it out. I'm going kind of a multi-pronged approach, but it's still giving me problems, so I know, kind of a bummer.
And does it respond to colder temperatures?
Yes.
That's pretty typical.
Yep, and so I'm regretting, I think, doing the 1/3 knee replacement because now I have arthritis in the other two compartments.
Oh.
1/3, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and
I didn't either.
Yeah, so
I thought they did total.
Yeah. No, I just had the medial compartment, so the central and lateral, they left alone, but unfortunately now I have arthritis in those. So I'm not complaining. I, you know, hey, I can walk. I couldn't walk before, yeah. So.
Well, good deal.
Yes.
Hopefully it still gets better.
It'll get better.
As long as the pain is good.
It'll get better.
How are you doing on pain management?
Excellent. I have not taken anything. I've been taking a lot of herbs. I think I told you the last time we had talked on the phone that I got a parasitic infection. And so I decided to go an herbal route. So I've been taking a lot of herbs, and they help with some of the pain.
Yeah.
A lot of the turmeric and, yeah, Cassata Sagrada and some other Mimosa Pudica. So a lot of different things that I've researched in order to help with pain, inflammation, and the parasitic infection.
Okay, before I start on my questions, do you have any information or do you have anything you'd like to give us an update on how things are going at IDEX or your latest vacation?
Yeah, so weren't you on a trip recently?
Yeah.
No, this is the first time I have.
Oh, this wasn't? Oh, okay.
I have not been on a trip. We couldn't go. We were supposed to go on a trip, but we couldn't go because it was in the middle of something else. So that's okay. We'll go on a trip another time. IDEX is going perfect. We're going to start hot reads, which is going to be stressful, meaning that the client will get their information immediately. So instead of me writing the report within 24 hours, they'll be able to call me and get it generated that second. So it's a little bit more expensive, but it's going to be a little bit more. Yeah, it's going to be a little stressful.
That is great. So we did get a report from
Michael Simpson.
From Dr. Simpson. And I won't go into the particulars. It was something you discussed with him. It was not something that came up in any other way. And I'm glad you were very glad to see that, as was he, that you were forthcoming with him about it. And just a caution that the holidays are extra challenging.
Yeah, and I was given a drink, and I, as soon as I realized there was alcohol in it, I was like, oh my gosh. I told my husband, he's like, don't worry, I'll drive, don't worry. And I said, and I told Michael immediately. And I told him that, because I had been drinking cranberry juice, I always drink cranberry juice, and that one had vodka in it. And I probably had, like, you know, I'd already kind of sipped down like three sips, and I was like, okay. So I told him right away. I've been trying to go through this consent agreement with honesty and grace,
yes.
And I have been I've tried to be honest with him every time.
Yes.
Well, that's the big thing is, yeah, the fact you say honesty right there is,
yes.
I mean, crap happens sometimes,
yeah.
Especially on accidental stuff sometimes,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You have to recognize it and correct it in that moment. And
yeah, I mean, like I didn't want to, you know, do something crazy like get in the car and drive, because I was supposed to be the designated driver. I'm always the designated driver. So then that had to change, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, no, your, again, your compliance and your participation and your attitude is commendable.
Well, thank you.
I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Are you going to San Rosa?
No, my parents are going to come here.
Oh, good. They'll get a break from the cold, rainy, gray.
They will, thank you.
Okay, you're good?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Happy holidays, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Rowe.
Roy, happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, section four, number 2, 2378, regarding Sarah McMichael, CBT quarterly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented. Hello.
Hello. Manager, could I let the board know that this morning I uploaded an email for Ms. Michael with this kind of a self-report, if you describe it that way. So that's in your packet.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I did have a couple of challenging months just because I was having some insurance issues. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing much better now. I have basically included in my report all of the things that I've been doing as far as court stipulations go. I am struggling, however, to find an organization that's willing to let me perform community service for them due to my guideline offense. So I am actually going to speak with my probation officer and the South office in regards to a program that they have, and hopefully that will turn out. So I'll keep you updated as to what the outcome is. I've also obtained an SR-22 insurance, as well as an analog device in my vehicle. Right now I'm currently receiving rides from my boyfriend to get to work, but it's been a little difficult, so I'm hoping to get my restricted license in play as soon as possible.
And you're still not working in the profession, is that
correct? So right now it's been hard for me to even bring myself to apply with the felony that I had on my record. It's just rather embarrassing. So I've maintained my employment at Spencer's Gifts as an assistant manager. I plan to, well, I made a request in another email that I sent this morning, maybe hoping for some kind of letter information that just has some details about what I've accomplished within the past couple of years, and then I can write another formal report to a future employer as to maybe that could help my circumstances into getting my foot back in the door as like a veterinary receptionist. And then as for everything else goes, I need to speak with my probation officer in more detail about getting my charges reduced down so that I don't have that on my record moving forward.
Okay.
How many hours of community service do you have to do?
I have to perform 100. I haven't performed any as of yet. I have inquired at several places, but they weren't willing to bring me on to the staff, even just as community service, because of the offense that was originally, yeah.
Okay. And then we did get a report from probation, which which was good.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm just reading through really quick on the email that we got this morning. So as far as the hours, you're working with, like you just said, with the probation officer to see if there's a program that...
Correct.
Right, okay. And then you are working still on your continuing education and getting, you're still keeping your...
Yeah, I read a lot, and then I do some online CE courses. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that many in the last month or so, but I've been reading more. Mm-hmm. I keep a lot of my textbooks and just educational articles around, so that way I can just fall back to it if I ever feel like I'm getting fuzzy on a certain subject. As far as like renewing or continuing to work as a CBT, I mentioned I'm going to take baby steps just because it's been a lot on me emotionally. But I do still want to pursue this career, and I'm not ready to say goodbye. So I'm just I'm hoping that at the time that I complete my probation and my charges are reduced, that it'll be easier for me to get back into the field. It's just incredibly difficult with people looking at me with the charge that I have, you know?
Okay. And yeah, this time of year is really good as far as there's a lot of free CEs that are online because it's, you know, typically a renewal cycle for a lot of states, so.
That was my big question. Are you ready for the renewal cycle? Because you got about a month.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are you ready for the renewal cycle? Because you got about a month and a half to be able to apply for it.
Yeah.
So you have all your hours and stuff for that at least.
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool. So you're good on renewal. So yeah, if you let that lapse, that's a hurdle.
Right, yeah.
So just keep that up. Good.
Absolutely.
All right. Any questions from board members?
No, and like I said, and I understand what you're saying. Like I said, when people see a record and stuff, it's like, but you know what? The most important thing is what you do from here forward. So yeah, just keep working through it and do your thing. And stuff happens in our past, and the further past it gets, you'll kind of get distance from it. But it's always there. It's always a reminder. But like I said, it's one of those things where you just got to work through it and just prove that that's not who you are anymore.
Absolutely.
So you'll be good. Thank you so
much. Challenging learning experience.
Yep.
But the holidays can be stressful. They can, and I would encourage you to really take care of yourself during the holidays. That's, you know, there can be substance abuse issues. There can be, you know, a relationship dysfunction or whatever. So take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. I love that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Section 4, number 3, case 2454 regarding Aaron Miracle DVM. Monthly appearances required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information provided, which may include modification of consent agreement. Hello. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Carey. Okay, so do you have any updates for us?
No, everything's are going pretty smoothly.
Okay, and we had received last month an email from you. It was a little late though in the month as far as before the next board meeting with some requests that you had made. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that was something you wanted to.
It was definitely something I was hoping to discuss. You know, I work in Kingman, which is 3.5 hours one way. So when I need to be here physically, mm-hmm. it's an entire day off of work, which is, you know, hard for my paycheck, but hard for the clinic, and especially since the holidays have been a little bit slower so far, the technicians are already missing hours. So I want to be able to help them still keep those hours. And so if I'm able to appear physically less often or even by telephone, with telephone I can easily block out an hour, a chunk of time on my schedule, I would still be able to work and still provide support for my techs.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're still really, really new into, you know, this process, and we've kind of, as you know, had a lot of bumps along the road in this 6-month period of time, so I don't know that I would make a recommendation to change that, but I don't know if anybody else on the board feels differently.
No, I don't like, well, I mean, I'm also really concerned about this missed test two
yes,
weeks later.
I
don't like that. When you miss a test, it needs to be done immediately, so I don't like 2 weeks delay time. And if that's
well,
what this facility can do, I don't know if that's acceptable.
Well, so there's actually another miss, too. So we have two misses.
Yeah.
Yes. Yesterday, or not yesterday, Monday, I had normally in the routine of waking up and checking in, I missed Monday. I don't have an excuse for that. I checked in around 8:20 and was bluntly reminded that their clock for their check-in windows is on Eastern time, so it was past that time. So that's when I had emailed Victoria and Mr. Carey, and then went in yesterday voluntarily to submit a test for that.
I would ask that if this should occur in the future, please be specific as to the reasons.
Well, I'm just, we keep getting a lot of excuses on stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not necessarily comfortable right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we just keep missing stuff, and there's an excuse over and over again, and I don't know if we're taking this seriously.
Yeah, well, I'm also concerned because the reason given was for various reasons, and that was...
Yeah, I don't know if this is being taken seriously right now, to be honest. I'm seeing too many issues.
Yeah.
So I don't know what everybody else's thoughts are.
Well...
We don't have this many issues in cases typically.
Well, so, yeah, so again, so there's kind of the issue with the testing that's currently ordered, you know, compliance there, because right now, it's 2 times a month, right, and your request was to reduce that, so that's probably not gonna be...
That's understandable.
Yeah, not considered at this point, but then also, you know, what are your plans right now as far as, again, because last time we had talked, month before, you were looking at maybe adding, right, to your plate, some relief stuff, and then...
I have not progressed on that because I want to make sure that everything is smooth, and especially with the bumps switching from one program to another, I don't want that extra, as much as I like to do relief, I don't want that extra stress on my time so that I can make sure and devote it to the agreement that we have and make sure to prove the compliance with that.
Okay. So, and then as far as other plans, you know, mostly because whenever you apply to other states, right, for licensure or whatever, they reach out to the state. So do you have other plans as far as, again, relief or relocating?
Not relief. We do have relocation plans,
okay.
But not until June.
Oh, summer.
June, yeah, the summer, because I need to wait for my teenager to be out of school.
Makes sense, yeah.
And as far as my understanding is concerned, even being out of state, the things I have agreed to in the consent agreement apply and remain. So testing and therapy and calling in at that point, because I'll be out of state, is still going to be a requirement that I understand.
Okay. And then, again, part of the consent agreement is performance evaluations. You are in receipt of your most recent evaluation?
Yes, that was turned in October, I believe.
Yeah, it's the way it's dated is October 1st, but it says the evaluation's through October, so I'm not... A little confusing there, but as far as the review itself, how do you feel about that and, you know, the different things that are documented along there?
Oh, I agree with it. There's always room to grow in communicating with clients and different people in general. Surgical skills are something that they have really tried to help me focus with, and I have the practice. The medical director is there when I do surgery, so if I have questions, I can ask her. And on occasion where I've had a surgery I haven't done before, we have blocked off both of our times so that she is in there in the surgical suite with me and able to help advise on that. I've been getting a lot of really awesome mentorship, which is amazing. So,
okay, and that's with Dr. Ngoni?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, that was the report that you just referenced. Mm-hmm. Also mentioned as some concerns regarding absences.
Yeah.
And that can be a red flag.
Well, especially with missed appointments otherwise.
Yes.
I'm seeing too many missed scheduling issues going on here, and that's very concerning as to why we have last minute schedule changes and why things are being missed. We're missing appointments, we're missing, like I said, attendance issues at work. That's usually indicative of something deeper going on. So what's going on with all this?
Nothing outside of normal health issues. I have quite a complicated health history. I have migraines, which remove my ability to function for a day.
Is that why you missed the testing appointments too?
Yesterday or Monday, I have no excuse for. Monday, I just plain forgot. I have an alarm set on my phone now so that it will interrupt everything because I've been doing this for a while. I thought I had it down and I didn't. So I have an alarm set. It'll wake me up. It'll go off at 8 a.m. so that I can check in. As far as the one that was in October, which I believe was the questionable one, I honestly, I don't know. You were working. I don't remember what I had talked to. The day that the testing had come up, I had called to the labs that were in Kingman and no one had the ability to do an observed test because they had no female staff in those days.
And I did confirm that. So that wasn't, that one wasn't.
Madam Chair, would it be appropriate for us to ask for an attendance report from the employer for the last 90 days?
Well, if it's not in the consent agreement, I don't think you can.
Pardon?
If it's not in the consent agreement, I don't think we can.
Well, it's that's basically backup to documentation to the employer performance review because they mentioned.
I think it's addressed.
Pardon?
I think it's addressed in that review.
Well, and like I said, it sounds like I said, there's improvement on the evaluation. I mean, there's definitely some concerns there, but it sounds like we're trying to work through and get there. Like I said, my big thing is just the attendance issues and the appointments and stuff. So that's just the concern to me is I don't want to see any more missed issues like that because when we miss obligations, that's not just, oh, I kind of forgot. I mean, that's really concerning, especially in a case like this. So we got to make sure we stick to those obligations and stick to the schedule that's been agreed upon and the testing itself. So.
Just to be responsive to Ms. Solomon and Dr. Wright, there would be, even if the board, there was some concern over what's in the consent agreement and what's not, there's no objection to, as part of normally engaging with the board, to provide it. You can just treat it as other information, an attendance report, if that would be helpful. I mean, it's not saying I think you need to order. She is comfortable mm-hmm. providing that. So we could have it as information points for the next meeting.
Good.
And then I think as Ms. Solomon's brought up a few times today, for the holidays, do you have kind of a plan for yourself as far as, again, because holidays are stressful, right? There's a lot of things going on, and do you have a plan for yourself to take care of you and make sure that, you know, you're prioritized as far as your focus?
Our plans for the holidays are pretty minimal because it's thankfully time that I can just kind of sit back and not do much of anything. I am thankfully in a relationship with my family and my partner's family, and it's pretty much dry between all of us. Like, alcohol is not a huge factor in any of our get-togethers or any holiday plans, which thankfully will avoid that. But I don't know that we have anything planned for Thanksgiving other than just relaxing, and my partner's mom is hosting Christmas, so it's not even like I have to clean a house or prep for anything like that. So the plans had been to really just kind of relax and take it easy.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be extra stressful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Anything else from council or Dr. Mirka?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We have move on to IC candidate interview. So section 5, number 1B, Emily Fastbaugh, PPM. Oh, yes. Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Emily Fastbaugh.
All right. And then Ms. Solomon is doing our interview questions to keep them consistent.
Thank you. There are four questions I'd like to ask you. I'm asking all the same questions of each candidate so we can do a nice comparison. The first question is, how long have you been practicing in Arizona?
I've been practicing in Arizona since 2021, but I've been practicing since 2007. I was in California prior to that.
And have you been with the same practice, general area?
Since 2021, yes.
Yes. Thanks. Second question. Why do you want to serve on the investigative committee?
So I've been with multiple practices in my time as a veterinarian. I've been with private practices, I've been with corporate practices. I've seen all kinds of things, all kinds of different, we'll call them levels of practice. And for me, the quality of medicine and the level of care that's provided to patients and the level of care that's provided to the clients is really, really important to me. So using, you know, good protocols for, you know, anesthesia and surgery, you know, providing really clear communication with clients, these things are very, very important to me. And having seen all aspects of care, not only in the practices that I've been with, but also just from all the records that I've seen and all the stories that I've heard from my clients coming into practice just in the time I've been with Arizona, there are some things that worry me. You know, I've been through a board complaint myself in my time in Arizona, and I hear lots of stories. And for me, being a part of the investigative committee is a way for me to advocate for the animals of Arizona. It's a way for me to help protect the clients, because honestly, they don't always know how to advocate for themselves other than to reach out to the board. You know, they will try and ask for help from their doctors, from their hospitals, and they don't always get a good response. You know, I am a premise permit holder. I am a medical director at the hospital that I work at, and that's a big piece of what I do as well, is managing communication with clients when they're not getting the care that they feel like they're getting. And I hate to see clients who are frustrated and don't feel like their pets are getting the care that they need. I don't like to see my own doctors stonewalling clients or not communicating well with clients. And I feel like if I can take the extra step to help those outside of my own, you know, place of employment, and have that level of impact, that's what I'm looking for, is to be able to be more impactful, because there's lots of scary things that are out there, and I want to be able to help.
Third question is, what would you bring to the, you kind of answered from why do you want to serve to what would you bring to the investigative committee as a new member?
Because of my current role as a medical director, I have to spend a lot of time being able to see both sides of the story, right? Like, I have to ask, when things go wrong with cases, I have to be able to ask my doctors what happened, but I also need to be able to listen to clients and say, you know, what went wrong for you? Did the doctor actually ask you these things or tell you these things or explain these things to you? So I can pick apart what actually happened, what are the actual facts in this, and as my role as medical director, what I use for that is what can we learn for this so that we can do better in the future. But as part of the investigative committee, that's part of it, but the other part of it is determining where do we, you know, not only where do we lay blame, but, you know, how do we use this to help protect clients in the future when we do have doctors who, you know, aren't practicing adequately, who are making mistakes, who aren't following the rules, and you know, how do we help them to do better in the future, essentially.
So what I hear you saying is, as medical director, you're kind of a one-person investigative committee in-house?
In many ways, yes. That's what it feels like, yeah.
Okie doke. And lastly, meetings are generally held the first Tuesday of the month, mm-hmm. and they can generally last all day mm-hmm. or close to it. So this requires quite a commitment to attend meetings, to prepare meetings, yeah. prepare for meetings, which takes extra time, and it may be a travel commitment also mm-hmm. on your part. So are you, do you feel you can attend on a regular basis and there's no constraints, or this wouldn't be an additional problem for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, look, I have no further questions. Do any of the board members have questions? Thank you, Dr. Hasbaum.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Were you trying to work in Dr. Pluto's? No.
No, she would be here by now. I
didn't think her time. Okay, so just move forward? Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't, because it's still morning.
The regular agenda.
We sure are. We're going to go back to, just wanted to make sure I didn't miss my timing. Okay.
And I think we just had attorneys here for IARs.
Okay, well, we do have, it looks like, Dr. Santibanez, so should we do that case? Is that okay?
Is it when
Oh, is.
If you want to.
Do you want me to move on?
They just arrived.
Okay,
just
so I'll wait.
Maybe do the other ones.
Yep, we'll do. Okay. So section 2, number 2, case 24138 regarding Brian Netty, DVM. Tracy, could you please read the front load?
Yes. Case 24138. The complainant is Nina Payne. The respondent is Brian Neidig, DVM. On December 29, 2023, Princess, a 2-year-old female French bulldog, was presented to respondent for a C-section. The procedure was presented in the form of his agreement. Later that day, the dog and her four pups were discharged. On January 9, 2024, the dog was presented to Desert Park Veterinary Care due to inappropriate urination. An ultrasound to obtain a urine sample was showed an abnormality. A follow-up radiograph was performed and revealed the retained puppy. On January 10, 2024, the dog underwent surgery to remove the puppy and stay the dog. The committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. This was the case that you had requested some additional information on, and so I was able to obtain some photographs of the puppy or the mom when she presented to the consulting veterinarian's office.
Thank you. So we do not have the respondent, but we do have counsel monitoring, is that correct? And then no complaint in this case. So Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yes, so we have reviewed this case the last board meeting, and there were some concerns about the color of the dog in question. Given one medical record said one thing and one said another. Upon looking at the pictures that were provided, the pictures correlated with the dog, the description of the dog that was in fact had surgery performed by the respondent. So with that, knowing that in fact was the dog, I think we're back to saying, well, this is definitely a miss on the veterinarian's part. I know the IC didn't find any violations, but I think I'm going to disagree with that. And so I would make a motion to find in case 24138 violation ARS 32-22-32-11 gross negligence, leaving a puppy in the uterus during the cesarean section.
Second.
Motion.
Second. I have a question, because there was reference to and I guess it doesn't matter if we have a consent agreement, but should it move forward? My question was, the owner said they wanted to spay the dog at the time of the C-section, but they weren't able, they were advised they weren't able to because then she would, they wouldn't be able to nurse, the puppies wouldn't be able to nurse. And I was like, that's the first time I'd ever heard that. So I didn't know if that was just, if maybe there was an uninformed team member that advised that. Hopefully that was the case. Or maybe there was just an assumption on the
owner's
the pet owner's part that that would be the case, and that's why they declined. Maybe they declined, not it was not advised. It was just, that just kind of threw me. But again, I was like, that would be concerning if that was truly said.
And then on the flip side, in the actual complaint, they were upset that the dog was no longer going to be able to have puppies. So I'm not sure.
I don't even know if I saw that part.
Yeah, so that was like, it said something to the effect that, you know, not only did she have to go through two surgeries, now she wasn't able to have puppies.
But
so
even
that
though
contradicted the first part that said, so.
Okay.
So I would.
Then I'm more confused, but okay. I just wanted to say it though, just in case it ended up being, if we were going to informal, I just wanted to.
Right. Well, so I would actually, I would like to make a motion to offer consent.
Right. Yeah. But,
And so with that, we can accept the proposed findings of fact, but we can't the conclusions of law because they didn't find anything in there, correct? Okay, so I would make a motion to accept the proposed findings of fact as written by the IC.
Second. Is that also including the new information though? That we
match the dog?
Match the dog.
Yeah, I guess so, because we want to make sure that's in there too.
Yeah, at least the description.
Yeah.
As amended.
Okay, so motion second amended.
And then I would propose that
are you going to add conclusions of law?
I was going to, but we have to change it, right? Because we're putting in the
It may be better to kind of make it two steps. So
two
just a motion on the findings.
Yes. So the second?
Yep. Motion yes, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now you can.
And then I would make a motion to add to the conclusions of law for the IC, the ARS 32-22-32-11, gross negligence, leaving a puppy in the uterus during a C-section.
Okay, motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
And then I would propose were there any prior violations?
There are none.
Okay. So I would propose a probation of 1 year and CE of 3 hours in reproduction. I don't know. There's some that is on C-section, but they don't seem very...
Reproductive surgeries in general, maybe.
Yeah.
That way you're looking at the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, reproductive surgery.
Because like I said, it sounds like this is not an unexperienced doctor.
Right.
This is a sucky situation.
Yes.
But it still happens, so
right.
Yeah.
Is that a medical term? Sucky situation.
It is now. It's an official legal term now. Read into the records. I think that's, I'll second that.
And then to be signed within 30 days, if not, then goes on to informal?
I'll still second that.
Okay. All right. So roll call.
Dr. Burns, aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes to offer a consent agreement. Should we move to case 2509 since council's back? Also, just so our board knows, there was the modified continuing education plan uploaded for case 2446, if you want to review that. And then, do we have a time? Not yet, okay. So just so you all know, just in case we're able to get Dr. James on the phone.
Okay, sure.
Okay. All right, section 2, number 13, case 2509, regarding Hugo Santibanez DVM. Tracy, do we need you to read the summary?
Victoria, did we have a summary on this one?
Don't. Ms. Solomon says it's short.
I can read this.
Okay, perfect, thank you.
Oh, okay, excellent, thank you.
At the July 17th, 2024 board meeting, the board voted to open investigation for noncompliance with respondent's consent agreement 24-53. Respondent entered into a consent agreement with the board due to repeated premises compliance issues. A practice monitor was implemented to assist respondent in getting his premises compliant. The latest report from the practice monitor noted several areas of continued noncompliance. Respondent repeats the practice monitor's claims and states that he is mostly compliant.
So we can dismiss.
So, oh yeah, so
consent
go ahead.
Agreement is signed.
It's signed. It's signed. Okay. Did you have anything?
The consent agreement was signed.
Yeah, it was signed about a month ago, I want to say, Victoria.
Yeah, it didn't make it in time for the meeting, I think was the issue.
Yeah, it was. And what happened is, it, just the way the timing was set, is it came after the last meeting for our deadline. It was signed, and then we now have in the hopper for the December 11th meeting, new protocols and a bunch of other items, including a new report. And we're gonna, I think that's going to be a little bit more substantive.
Yes, that's regarding controlled substances, correct?
Yes, and some additional items that we've been working on.
So we can dismiss the prior board action because the consent agreement's been signed. We took action because it wasn't signed.
The amended consent agreement is signed. Okay,
yes.
Perfect.
So motion. Make a motion to dismiss it then?
Yeah.
That's all it is?
Yes.
Okay, yep. So okay. You have motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I was asking for a second.
Oh, second.
So you took a second.
Yeah, he was second.
All right, all those in favor to dismiss?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Then.
See you next month.
Yes. It looks like we have Dr. Pletto here, so I am recused, and Dr. Byrne is going to chair the case.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just recap for the board. At the board's last meeting, the board voted to offer Dr. Pletto a consent agreement, and that was done. It was to require her to hair testing once a month. And she can explain to you, but she's here today to ask for that consent agreement that still is on the table for her to be modified again before she signs off on that. So I'll let she can explain that and what she would like it to say.
So last month we had put a new and amended section to the consent agreement to have for, I think it was 6 months. Do weekly,
yes.
Make it in writing to do weekly urine alcohol screening random, and then to do a monthly hair sample. So I went this month to do my first hair sample because I just went ahead and started doing what the board wanted even before the thing was signed. And much to my dismay, and I don't know that anyone who's done this or knows this, but the amount of hair is 2 inches this way, not length, but like across, and like a quarter inch thick. So it's a lot of hair. And I sent a picture of how much hair it is. And when I was there, they said that the hair samples, it tests back 3 months.
Yes.
And so to do it monthly is a bit redundant. And not only that, like I would be bald.
There's no problem.
Yeah. Not the being bald.
Okay, understood.
But it would be patchy. And so I had a thought. So originally, and I know this is what I had said, is could we do it every 3 months? But I'll be honest, even that amount of hair every 3 months, like it's a lot of hair. And what I was gonna suggest is, would it be possible for the board to consider, like, oh, I could set it up with the same AverHealth who does my random urine alcohol screenings weekly. I could set it up where they call me to do a random urine drug screen monthly. Would that suffice?
Basically, can we avoid the hair?
Well, it's hair or nail.
I would be fine with nail.
Okay, that's an option we can go with, and I believe, and correct me if I'm not correct, Victoria, that the nail is also good for 90 days?
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay. It says hair or nail. No, I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you. Okay. I believe the consent agreement says hair or nail. So
that's the big thing is trimming the nails right before an appointment. That's where it gets hard. So always leave one long.
Yes.
Okay.
We won't say what that's called, but still.
Right. So we'll continue.
That's just something to watch for.
So I'll continue with the weekly
urine
analysis randomly, and we'll change the hair/nail to every 90 days.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
So
I would move.
Oh, I would tell her not to trim her nails for 3 months.
Still need to return it within the same time. Okay, so as soon as I get it, I'll just return it.
I don't think it's much, but.
Okay, that's it. And then I just wanted to let you know that I am scheduled next week to go see someone who specializes in addiction. You had asked about that last month, who I was seeing specifically for addiction. And
yes.
So I did find someone in the area.
Good.
So I'm seeing her for the first time next week.
Good. That's excellent.
Yeah.
And not, the board has heard this already a few times this morning, but the holidays can be extra challenging, both for certain substances like alcohol, as well as family and friend relationships. So please take care of yourself.
Okay.
Knowing that. Okay. Okay. So we've got. What else do we need to do? That's it.
That's it.
Cool.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to section 2. Nothing from Dr. James yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. Right. Section 2, number 5, case 24149 regarding Christine Sullivan, DVM. Tracy, could you please read the front left?
Yes. Case 24149, the complainant is Brenda Rabidi. The respondent is Christine Sullivan, DVM. On May 16, 2024, S'mores, an 8-year-old male Maltese mix, was presented to respondent with diarrhea and drank blood coming from the rectum. The dog was triaged and an injection of pain medication was offered. Complainant declined. Medical records were obtained from the oncologist and primary care veterinarian. On May 14, 2024, the dog had undergone a CT scan on multiple sites of aggressive metastatic neoplasia were found. Respondent discussed the dog's quality of life and euthanasia was offered. Complainant declined. Diagnostics were recommended, including transferring for an ultrasound to help determine what was causing the GI bleed as well as blood work. Diagnostics were declined and complainant eventually approved an injection of methadone prior to discharge. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent suggested the dog be euthanized prior to any diagnostics being performed. According to complainant, the GI bleed was due to a rectal device being inserted for the dog's CT scan. The dog improved in a couple of days. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed the violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay.